everybody. Welcome to Puck Off. This is Joe Bartnick, the captain. Frazier Smith is in Vegas on assignment. We are in the capable hands of the Reverend Johnny Bench, working the mics and the controls. He'll be helping us out today because our guest will be via phone. We have the great John Moses, who's interesting because he's a Toronto native who plays hockey now in New York City. So his mistress team is the Rangers, our first Ranger fan, even though it is a mistress, I think, of the season, because the Ren Azizi can never make it. But, yeah, that's it. And lots of things to talk about today before we get to our guest. One is thank you, each and every Puck Off fan that listens, and us, and even more, the guys that come up to me live at shows, and the ladies. We love it. We love you, and just means a lot to us, because we put a lot of time and effort into this show. And we're glad you enjoy it. Now, first order of business, a big shout out to Keith Justice. Keith, Johnny Bench, won your comic book. Oh, yeah. He was the winner. Now, I know I said 2 weeks ago, and I do apologize. We were both out of town last week, and we just couldn't make it. So it's the summer, so our other esteemed producer, Sean, just ran a clip of me and Jimmy Crenn. I hope you liked it. If not, at least we're back now. But he won your comic book, and we're giving something else special. But he picked, because I said 2 weeks ago that we didn't have a winner, but then he emailed in, and his two choices were right, Yager and Crosby. So there was no way he could have heard the podcast unless he was in the studio, because I got home and he won. So we're going to give him your comic book and probably a Puck Off t-shirt, which we will be making. I'm going to have some swag because we're going to have other concerts and other things going on. Next week, we'll talk more about it. The other thing is, before we get too into it, is if you want to have a new website or a web name, or you want to own a website, you want to, for your business, your personal life, whatever you do out there, please punch in the code 199-PUCK, and that's the Puck Off code, and you help us out. And people notice, hey, look, Puck Off's doing even better. And that makes us look good. Now let's get to the our last show we did, me and the captain. We did our top 50, where we read down the top 50 and argued and bitched and kibitzed and had fun with it. It was, I think, the captain's favorite show he said we ever did, and he likes them all. And we've had a lot of complaints, anger, a lot of coming back at us for it. First of all, for me thinking when I was coming in, and I apologize, that was the sporting news, because I always buy the sporting news, and I didn't read the fine print that it was Beckett's, and I guess they're a baseball card company. That got some people's ire. But, you know, it's all for fun. And obviously you can debate any top 50 down the line, but I don't think you can really complain about their top 12. And the top four, that's the Mount Rushmore of hockey. Now, obviously, we have a lot of Penguin fans in the show, and they're like, how could you go against Greg? How could you go against Lemieux? You know, he's in the top four. Is he the greatest player I've ever seen? Yes. But you can sit here and debate, you know, who's better when Gretzky has every award by, a 1,000 goals or 1,000 points or whatever, 600 points. And I know all the ifs, ands, and buts, cancer and backs, but, you know, that's the way it is. And, I think especially people in Pittsburgh, you know, I think on the national level, the faster we just say, you know, everyone knows Lemieux is arguably the greatest talent and, has the greatest highlights and, you know, is the great, you know, it's Lemieux, Super Mario. Everyone loves Super Mario and just says, let Gretzky be number one. I think the less gray hairs everybody has. Wayne's Wayne, Mario's Mario, Bobby Orr's Bobby Orr, and Mr. Hockey's Mr. Hockey. There should be no complaints. The other big complaint we had, or the big complaint that we had, which I think was founded looking back, was people said, how can Martin Brodeur be number 43 on the list? Now, if you go back to the list, and I'm not going to waste the whole show on this, but ahead of him were Dryden, Plant, and Patrick Waugh. I don't think anyone can disagree with that, because I do believe the Devils' system did have a lot to do with his goaltending. Not a lot. I should say, I think it helped him. I think the defense, I think the caliber defenseman he had, the system they ran, he's still a great goaltender. And he did come ahead of Billy Smith and, you know, Tony Esposito. So that, you know, he did beat a few greats. I mean, he beat Billy Smith. The one that I think everyone, or at least some of the listeners, had a problem with was they had Grant Fuhr ahead of him. And I do say that was a mistake. I mean, it is ridiculous that Grant Fuhr is ahead of Martin Brodeur. It's actually ludicrous. But that's why those are funny. That's why we debate. That's why we have something to talk about in the middle of July in hockey. Now the other it's funny because I really do. I love getting the fan mail, on either my Twitter account or Facebook. Please like Puck Off too. We have an embarrassing number of likes on that page, just from the amount of hate tweets I get. I know there's way more people listening. I shook more people's hands at Laugh Boston after the Saturday show that said they listen to Puck Off. Then actually go ahead and like that Facebook page, and we don't send any junk out from that page. Just like it, and you know that's a good place to get the feed. I guess a good place is just when I tweet it out, but it doesn't hurt you. One click, and I think it makes us not look like fools actually for how low that number is. But the other point of bone of contention with a few of our favorite listeners. Guys that I enjoy the banter with is a guy named Yogi. And Yogi said basically that I did not give Nick Bonino enough credit, that Kessler didn't get traded for nobody, for nothing. And he called me out on it. And you know what, Yogi, you're absolutely right. It actually hurt me. I'm like, you know what, he's right. It didn't hurt me that I was wrong. It hurt me that I didn't look into it enough, because I do take this show very seriously. And Bonino is a good winger. So I don't know if the words apologize, but looking back, Bonino is more than nothing. I do think that Kessler was gotten for a little less. I mean, the Penguins were looking at giving him like Derek Pouliot and James Neal. So Bonino, and I know Yogi's and tweet had a couple other things. They get a couple draft picks and that. So I will say Bonino is more than nothing, but I would much rather have Kessler than the package that the Anaheim Ducks sent away. Other hockey news, not much going on. I guess an old-time enforcer tried to rob a bank, or did rob a bank, or got caught robbing a bank. And you say, well, look, violence is finally hitting the NHL. Not really. I mean, it's not like our leading goal scorer is punching women in elevators and only getting 2-game suspensions. But that happened. And not really much else happened. We're going to bring our guest up momentarily, as the esteemed Johnny Bench rings him up. But now is like it really stinks for us hockey fans right now, because now is when everyone is on vacation in the league. As we got him, hopefully get him right. We can hear the ring, so we're actively seeking John Moses. Nice ring. That's the old school ringtone too. I like that. It's like the Hitchcock ringtone. Dial.
Hello. No one is available.
Oh, look at that, John. Joe. Hey, John Moses.
What's going on, buddy?
Welcome to Puck Off. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
Oh, you sound great. You sound a little. Is that a little loud? I'm sorry. Let me talk to my producer now, Mr. Moses. We have the esteemed Johnny Bench working the controls. You can speak one more time.
How about that?
I think that's good, right? I think that's perfect. All right. Thanks, man. Well, thanks for coming on. I met John in New York. He's a funny comic, and he's also a native of Toronto, so he's a Leafs fan. And as you know, wherever we move as we're comics, we're allowed a mistress team, and that would be your New York Rangers.
Hey, you know what? Mistress is really like the perfect word. It's because, you know, like you spend a couple of nights with them here and there, but you don't really care for them that much, you know?
Well, maybe if they won the cup. I'm a little more in love with my mistress LA Kings, maybe, than you are of your New York Rangers, I guess.
Right. No, you know, if they won the cup, Maybe. I thought it was, you know, destiny and a bunch of other things that allowed them to get there to begin with, you know?
Yeah, what you mean, like injuring two goaltenders they played in the Penguins being in disarray? Is that what
Yeah. I'll chalk that up to destiny, yeah.
Well, let's talk. So, John, you still play hockey in New York City, correctly?
Yeah, I do. I do. In Central Park on an outdoor rink that starts in October. And, like, usually the first game you can play in, like, a T-shirt.
Wow. Now
it's so nice outside, you know?
Right. Sure. We have a comics kind of get together out here. Is it comics or is it everybody and anybody?
There's a few comics and like a few writers, you know, for some like late night shows, but it's like a lot of, you know, anybody, everybody type of thing.
Right on. You're not fighting any firemen or policemen on the ice, are you?
No. This is like actually... this is actually kind of like a C division league.
Oh, okay.
Which is good for me because like there's like a lot of guys in this league who like started playing hockey as an adult.
Kind of like me. And you grew up in Toronto, so you've been skating and playing your whole life?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like I probably started playing when I was 5 or something like that, you know.
Whoa.
And, you know, on outdoor rinks. So it's funny cuz like I'm like usually the best player on my team and, you know, maybe like one of the better players maybe one of the best players in the league. And, you know, I pack up afterwards and I'm like lugging my hockey bag of 20 years, you know, through the park to my car that's like 15 years old. And like all these guys who started playing, you know, as adults are taking their like brand new hockey bags to their Audis because they spent their childhood like studying and stuff and they're lawyers and doctors. I was like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have spent so much time on the ice rink when I was a kid, you know?
No, it's worth it. Well, yeah, you're doing comedy. How much fun?
Yeah.
How much fun are they having in law? I watch Law and Order. You're having more.
Yeah. You know, they're not comics that go to be lawyers, but you know, I know a couple of comics that used to be lawyers. You know.
Yeah, I know one. So, how far did you move up in Toronto? What was your highest level? Because right now we rank Ian Bagg as the best comedian hockey player in the world. Where's your ranking? Like how high up did you get? Did you?
I played AA in MTHL, so that's not very high, you know.
Is that juniors though? Is that juniors?
No, it's not. It's not quite juniors. Like juniors is like if you played AAA growing up as a kid, then like you would like probably progress to juniors. So I wasn't, that good.
In what position do you play?
I'm beer league good, but I'm not, you know.
Right.
I play a lot of, you know, I played a lot of D growing up, but you know now I can, you know, I can. Center. Anywhere but goalie.
So that was...
on our house league team when I was a kid, the goalie didn't show up that game. And, you know, despite being one of the better players on the team, I was like, fine. I mean, it was either I played net or we forfeited. So I played net, and I think the other team scored like 17 goals or something.
You should come out to L.A. because we have some goaltenders that are no good. We have some goaltenders that the cone is better than.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah, well, I would definitely fit in.
Yeah. So, without giving away your age, what's like your first Maple Leaf team that you enjoyed? What era? Are you from like the Wendell Clark era?
Yeah, Wendell Clark's like probably still my, you know, guy, you know, I grew up with Wendell Clark jerseys. In fact, I have like a T-shirt with Wendell Clark on it, you know?
Yeah, I think Wendell, I mean, I had a soft spot for Toronto. I have a soft spot for every team but the Flyers. But I had a soft spot for
You're like my dad.
And your dad's from? Why does he hate the? He's from. I mean, everyone should hate the Flyers, but why does your dad hate the Flyers?
He hates them specifically because of Bobby Clark breaking that guy's ankle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was pro Russia. He was a commie back in the. He's on the red.
Actually Moses Ofsky.
Oh, really?
No. You know, he just thought it was just such like a low, dirty, underhanded move. You know, and that it like reflected bad on our nation.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the truth. I mean, you know, but whatever. But you know, that was Flyer hockey.
Right.
But yeah, when I was, because my grandmother always, you know, loved Toronto. She used to go to Toronto, loved Toronto with the church group. And it's like New York, but cleaner. And oh, it's the streets are safe. And she would always bring me back like Toronto.
That's
Maple
a good
Leaf.
Analogy. It's a good
yeah,
analogy.
It is. It's a great, I stayed downtown, this year I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And I went to the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, I mean, everyone listening to this should make a pilgrimage to the Hockey Hall of Fame. It really is amazing. It really is amazing.
Yeah, I haven't been there in about 15 years, and I know back then it was, you know, really cool.
Well, were you there when it be, because I guess it wasn't in that bank building forever. Have you been to it's in the bank building now? Have you been up there?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was like the first year that it moved there. Or maybe I was there twice, once in the bank building and once in the old spot.
Yeah, for those that don't know,
but I know I saw like the cup in that room in the bank building.
Yeah, those that don't know, like the bottom of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Hockey Hall of Fame, it's kind of like it looks like it could be like it's like centerpieces. It's real bright, and it could be like in a mall, or it could be a Hard Rock Cafe kind of thing. But then you go upstairs. And it's like you're in Rome. I mean, it's,
right.
You know, it has like the stained glass windows and all the trophies. And that's where, like, comparing it to football, instead of the busts are at, they have these really nice drawings. And that's where everybody's at. And that's where you get the chills. Like, that's where they hold the Ark of the Covenant. But getting back.
Yeah, well, I was a kid, so I like the interactive stuff, you know, like,
oh,
like
sure.
Time your, you know, how fast your shot is and all that stuff.
Yeah. I did that. I scored one goal. I blocked. I stunk at the goaltending thing. But that's
they still got the goaltending thing where you, they show you like the interactive, like what you'd look like a Mario brother trying to play net.
Yeah, well, they have like Gretzky and Messier coming down, and they're taking slap shots, and then you think it's coming that fast, and it's just like a Nerf ball fluttering, and I got like flurry, like flustered, like woo, like Bob on the puck. And these like 6-year-old girls are stopping the puck, like you know, like Brodeur
looking at you, like come on, get
yeah,
together,
like Brodeur, like just like what are you doing, this guy? But I did score, so that's because I've always had decent hands. But I love the Maple Leafs growing. I just love Wendell Clark, and this leads me to an interesting point because. And he played a couple different places, but then he literally went and chased the cup in Detroit. He didn't get it. It was the year that they just got everybody. It was like they got the Expendables, and they didn't win it. And I kind of take heat sometimes.
Expendables, right.
Yeah. I kind of take heat sometimes when I say, like, I don't respect Ray Bourque as much because he kind of went and got his cup. You know, if he would have done it in Boston, were you such a big Wendell fan that it wouldn't have, you'd have been like, it was just as great for him, or would you have liked to have seen it in Toronto?
Well, I mean, of course I would have liked to have seen it in Toronto, but, and I think like looking back now, it was kind of, I was pissed that he was playing for Detroit because like Detroit was probably one of the biggest rivalries that Toronto had at the time. They had knocked us out. And like beat us up in the first round of the playoffs a couple of times before like the 92, 93, 93, 94 Leafs were getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, and they were always like, you know, really stacked. So it was hard to see him in Detroit, but like looking back at it, it was like, you know, listen, the guy, it was probably more like I just wanted to play and cut a paycheck. And, you know, if you can also chase the cup at the same time, then great, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because we're going to do an episode pretty soon about our 20 favorite guys, and I'm putting Wendell on that list.
Wendell was a great competitor and a great captain. Yeah. I mean, it's really like everything you want in a hockey player, you know, like, you know, good scorer, gritty guy, clutch, fights, you know, like there hasn't been a Leaf captain like that since, so.
No, it wasn't arguably my favorite fight. I mean, a top three fight of mine in the history of hockey was Wendell Clark and McSorley in the Western Conference Finals. I mean,
Oh yeah, that was great.
that's just what it was. That's just when people say they gotta take fighting out of hockey, like that's just what it's all about. Clark sets the tone, just cross check, bam, and then McSorley just comes in and then it's just a brawl. And it's just like that's what hockey's all about.
And there was also like a Clark versus Probert that was just like a classic a classic brawl. Yeah, people that say, like, you got to take fighting out of hockey. It's like, listen, we've got a sport for you. It's called soccer, you know? Like, go ahead.
Well, especially a guy like Wendell who could play at the highest level, skate on your top line. And then fight.
You know, and I feel like, you know, back then, like, there was like a greater difference between, like, the fighter guys and the skill guys, you know, like, just the overall level of play has been elevated so high now, you know?
Speak to that a little more.
Like, I feel like, you know, like, the brawlers back then really couldn't, you know, put the puck in the net. And, like, they really were just, like, fourth line brawler guys that could, you know, go out and it was just there for fighting. And like now, I mean, even the brawlers have like decent hands, you know?
I agree. Well, you know, our my co-host, and we call him the captain. He's from the original six, Fraser Smith. he's a big Bob Probert guy. So, you know, and Probert could actually score, but I agree with you because I just think there was more goons back in the league then. I think now there's just,
oh yeah, definitely.
I just think now there's less goons and there's just less guys. Hey, but what kills me, and I'm sure this is your heyday of growing up too, is just the power forward is just non-existent. There's no more Shannies. There's no more Kachucks. There's no more Kevin Stevens. No more Wendell Clarks that can score 35 to 50 and put up 200 penalty minutes. I mean, that's,
yeah. Well, scoring's down all the way around, you know, just period. You know what I mean? But yeah, absolutely. Like that part of the game, I'm watching fights now and it seems like guys in fights are trying more not to get hit than they're worried about landing shots, you know, whereas like you'd watch those brawls back then. And then I YouTube top 10 fights of 2014 and I'm not disappointed, but I've just seen so many fights now where it looks like the guys like really just has his that first arm extended a way out and he's just really trying not to get hit. And I just remember like watching, and maybe I'm, you know, idolizing my youth a little bit, but I just feel like I remembered so many more fights where guys were just pounding each other in the face, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know because now there's like hockeyfights.com and people are more afraid to be embarrassed. Right. I think maybe. I mean, you know, because you certainly can't say that the guys today hit harder than they used to, because nobody used to hit harder than like Mick Sorley and Probert and Stu and Grimson. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, those guys are almost bigger. I mean, other than like John Scott, you know, who I can't stand. You know, other than him skating around, most of the goons are actually a little bit smaller than the, you know, they're getting faded out of the way.
Well, that's just it. Well, and I think it's because like they go skills first, and there's a little less room for it in the game today. So you know, if there's a guy, you know, you see less Colt Knowers, you know, like you still got to be able to, you know, really skate and move the puck around, but.
Yeah, well, that's a funny.
Yeah, they do seem like they're a little smaller, and that's probably because they're a little more skilled, and they got to be a little more accountable. You know, like they don't want to have, you know, a liability out there.
Right.
You know?
Well, that is a funny point though, because we're saying that goonery or, you know, the enforcer is a dying art, but the Toronto actually employs two of them. Fraser McLaren and Colt Knorr. So, you know,
right.
What do you think? What do you think of Randy Carlyle as a coach? Do you like him? Did you think he should go?
I don't know. I don't know that I have an opinion on him. I just, they need to get some defense, you know?
Yeah, that's what
in the heart of that collapse when they slid from like after that Western, you know, road trip this year where I think they beat the Kings and, you know, it was like Kings, Ducks, San Jose, and they came out of that with 4 points. And I thought that they were just going to like fall right out of the race. And they won two of those games. I think they beat the Kings and they beat the Ducks and they lost to San Jose. They won San Jose and lost to the Ducks, but they came out of that. And I was like, oh man, maybe they can do something. And then it was that horrendous collapse where they lost like 8 in a row and fell right out of the playoffs altogether, and James Reimer had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, I had more hope for them. I picked them to make the playoffs this year because, you know, how they got, you know, I won't bring up horrible memories too long, but you know how they collapsed against Boston. Teams either bounce from that up or they just disintegrate. And I thought they would really pick themselves up and just do it. But you're right. They traded away Gunnarsson for Pollock, and you know that's here nor there. And then they brought in Robidas, who's been hurt for about 7 years.
Right.
And other than that, they really didn't help the. They didn't really help the.
All of their moves were sort of like neither here nor there. It was just like, when Shanahan came in and everybody was like, oh, he's going to shake it up now. And then he gives Carlisle an extension. And I'm like, I'm not sure how I felt about it. You know, whether he, you know, deserved to lose his job or not. I don't know. I mean, can you blame the coach for that? I mean, they just didn't have great defense, you know?
Yeah. Well, as someone who's lived under the Dan Blasman.
And like I said, I really felt like, and then they turn around and sign Reimer again to another 2-year deal. And I'm just like, oh my God. It's just more. He hasn't done anything, you know.
Well, they said that might be a part of a sign-in trade because and that's another reason why I really
Who's taking him?
That's an excellent point. Well, you know what? I
guess he could be a good backup moving forward, you know.
Well, I mean,
Reimer needs to go out west and like have one of these moments where he starts like playing pond hockey with his dad again, and his like dad pulls him aside and he's like, "Son, you got something pure," you know.
Well, I mean,
he's got to find himself.
Someone pulls a hammy in October, someone will want him.
Yeah,
you know, he's
exactly, and that, you know, as evident by the fact that at one point, like the Rangers were playing like a third string guy who had a grand total of 5 games of NHL experience,
yeah.
You know,
well, that's like,
over like a 7-year career. So, you're right. There's circumstances that, you know, where there's an opportunity for a guy like that to play. Again.
Yeah. And look at Minnesota. I mean, they had to use Brizgalov. The one guy was like, had MS. The other guy was hurt. You know, I mean, I don't think, you know, Bernier is the next Jonathan. I mean, I don't think Reimer is the next, coming at Jonathan Quick. But I thought that Bernier would take over. I think that's the biggest disappointment for that franchise, because I was shocked at how they got basically they got Matt Fratton for Jonathan Bernier. And listen to this show. No, I think Fratton's the biggest skirt. He's from the Ice Capades. And that's all they got for Bernier. And I thought Bernier would go in there and instantly improve that team and make them, like, you know, right where they should be. And he didn't beat out Reimer, for Christ's sake.
Right.
You know, and I think that really held him back, you know. And I think the other thing is, for as great of a year as James Van Riemsdyk had, and thank God he didn't have it for the Flyers, is as bad of a year as David Clarkson had.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and they gave Clarkson a boatload of money.
Oh, of course they did. Like, that's classic Toronto Maple Leaf organization moves, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, like, they've been misguided. I don't think they've been, like, Glenn Sather idiotic pre-cap era, you know?
Right.
But that was a lot of money to get. I mean, for him to not perform at all, I mean.
Yeah, you know, and I'm always, like, you know, weary of guys who get those big checks after, like, a career year where the career year is just so much better than anything they've put down on paper before that, you know? Like, when there's, like, a 15-goal jump, like, it's probably not going to be doable for sustainable, you know?
No, but you would think that, I mean, even if that was a little unattainable again, you would think that he would do pretty good because, I mean, it's hard to score goals in New Jersey. I mean, like,
right.
Unless you're Yager. I mean, it's like, you know, it's
right,
basically
right.
impossible to
who
score.
Is, who is an anomaly and oh, like, he's, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole reason why I actually visited Toronto. I didn't even know it was the Hall of Fame game. I just was in Toronto doing gigs, and I stayed over because I'm like, Yager's going to play there. I might as well go see Yager. And then it's like, and my buddy's like, my buddy at the NHL who I've done some work with, he's like, oh, yeah, well, now it's the Hall of Fame weekend. I'm like, oh, my God, what a miracle.
Right. Sometimes the stars just align. You know?
Yeah, but, I mean, Yags is...
I mean, unless you're a Toronto fan, and the stars never align.
Yeah, well, especially after 2 years ago. But, you know, what do you think of Nazem Kadri?
I sure would have dangled him out there, you know, for a chance to get, like a Ryan Miller, or a trade deadline, or something like that. You know, like I would have traded him away.
You would trade him. I see. I'm not. His fans know. Listen, I'm not the biggest Ryan Miller guy.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't think he's ever stopped a shot that mattered.
Right. Yeah. All of his shutouts came at against the Panthers.
Right. Well, you know, and he showed his colors in St. Louis, and now he's in Vancouver, and it's funny because I actually didn't address Toronto in my off season wrap up because they didn't really do anything. You only get so many words when I typed it up for my column. I'm like, yeah. And they didn't really do much. But now let's turn to your mistress team.
Right. Oh, you know, I want to say this because we talked about Carlisle and
yeah, please.
You know, and like the Leafs' biggest problem being a lack of defense, and then of course goaltending. I think if the Rangers, if you switch goalies with the Leafs and the Rangers, and like Toronto gets Lundqvist, and I think that they go to the Eastern Conference Finals as constituted.
Wow. So I have to put together back. Well, they had Kumalin last year because he's not on the team anymore.
Right.
And I'm scrambling. You think that team would have beat the Flyers? You think that team would have beat the Flyers, the Penguins?
They would have beat the Flyers, and then they've got better scoring. They've got better scoring than the Rangers for sure. But and I'll say this: I did this year. I saw three Leaf games. One was the Rangers versus the Leafs up in Toronto, because that was a wedding gift to me and my wife, because she's like grew up a Rangers fan and her family's like rah-rah Rangers.
Oh, so you actually married your mistress team.
Which is probably one of the reasons why like I can't be fully on board like the way you are with the Kings, because her family is so Rangers that it's like painful to watch them be so jubilant, you know? So I watched the Rangers destroy the Leafs 7-1. You know, we're 10 rows from the ceiling. My brother pays $750 for 6 tickets, right?
Oh.
And then we come down here and we watch the Leafs play the Islanders. And 10 rows from the ice, $20 a ticket. It was incredible. But I watched the Leafs give up 2 shorthanded goals in the same power play.
I think I watched that game.
And I've never even heard of that. Like, in all of the years I've played hockey, beer league, house league, high school, MTHL, and watched hockey, I've never even heard of a team giving up 2 shorthanded goals in the same game.
Yeah, I saw it twice last year.
I went to the Rangers game a week later where they played the Leafs in New York, and they gave up 2 shorthanded goals in the same power play again.
I didn't see the other one. I saw that one. Yeah.
I think there's a good chance that I'm the only person in the history of the world that's seen that.
In 1 week, saw a -6 power play.
Yeah. Well, right. Insane.
Yeah. But that is a bold statement, though. Do you think that, I mean, and I think Lundqvist is amazing. I'm not knocking Lundqvist. I just think that's a pretty bold statement. I don't know.
I think they definitely get to the second round, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny is, in my opinion, I actually thought that the Flyers were the toughest team that the Rangers played last year in the playoffs. Because I thought the Penguins were such top heavy. And in such such disarray. And then I thought, whether you believe the statement or not, when Therrien came out and said, well, we just lost our best player. I thought when they injured Price, I thought, well, that's not a good message to send to the team.
Right. I mean, the stars definitely aligned for the Rangers to get to the final. And, you know, once they got there, I was like, you know, maybe it's like destiny, you know, and, you know, Martin St. Louis' mother's up there pulling strings.
Yeah, it was 3-1 Penguins when she decided to die.
Right. I mean, that is love for your son.
Yeah, that's she must not have been a Dan Bylsma. She didn't never a big Ray Shero fan, I guess, Mrs. Rest in peace, Mrs. St. Louis.
Right.
But I'll tell you, the Toronto could be coming back this year, because I'll tell you, my thing is the top six teams in the East from last year, I think, all got worse.
Well, that was it. I mean, I was looking at the Rangers, and I didn't see any moves that, you know, made me think that they were going to be any better. And I didn't think that they necessarily were Stanley Cup final caliber team to begin with. I thought, like I said, I thought there was a lot of luck involved. You know, Price goes down, and you know, the Penguins kind of implode. And then I look at, you know, I look around, and nobody's, you know, I look at your Penguins, they lose Orpik, and I'm not sure who they pick up.
Well, they got Christian Ehrhoff, but they lost Orpik and Niskanen. They lost James Neal. I think he's a clubhouse cancer, but he still got 40 goals. You know,
right.
And then, I mean, the Flyers did nothing but trade Scott Hartnell, their heart and soul, for
RJ. Oh God, where did Hartnell go?
He went to Columbus for RJ Umberger.
Oh, what a.
You feel the same way I do.
What was that,
believe
me, like a cap move thing, or
that was just I don't know, because I mean, as much as I hate the Flyers, I would have gave Scotty Hartnell a piggyback ride to Pittsburgh if he wanted to play with the Penguins. I mean,
what a difference maker anywhere he goes.
Yeah, and then Montreal lost Gionta and Josh Georges.
Right.
And Vanek. And Boston lost Iggy.
So, yeah, he was a big.
He's a big part of that.
I don't know
team.
How Boston does it, but they just seem to like they'll trade away like a great player, and somehow still, you know, dominate the next year. Like I thought when they lost Sagan that it was that they were going to go down. You know,
it was though. I credit that. I mean that was a huge loss for them. That was a huge loss for them because they also got rid of Peverley. Peverley was their third line center, and that's what was the difference between them and every other team. Was it wasn't that fourth line with Thornton and what's his name's kid, Campbell's kid? They're better than most people's fourth lines. But when your third line has Peverley and Sagan and the guy with the big nose, the rat Marchand, like that's a great third line. Because now Marchand's on the second line. They didn't have a third line.
That was
a huge. But getting back to the Rangers, though, I mean, they picked up Danny Boyle, who he's not stopping. I mean, they lost Strawberg. Victor Strawberg was a great number three defenseman for them.
Right.
They got Tanner Glass. He'll hit everybody. He can't hit the side of a barn with a shot. I think he had like one goal in like 900 games.
Right. They seem to get like just a little bit older.
Yeah. And they lost Brian Boyle, who was great. You can't teach 6'6". And he's a great penalty killer. They lost him to Tampa Bay.
Right.
And they got rid of Richards. Now, Richards isn't Conn Smythe Richards, but you know what? He's a pretty good center. And he's gonna do. I mean, it's big things to lose for a team that really, you know, that wasn't. It's not like they have a ton of young talent coming up where it's like, oh, they can lose all these guys. They're gonna replenish them. I mean, I just printed out their roster today, a little prep, I don't know what you think of Rick Nash. I mean, to me, Rick Nash is Eric Lindros after the concussions.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good. Good analogy. He's definitely bust for those guys. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll go to L.A. in 3 years and be a big playoff contributor the way Gabrick was, you know, because Gabrick did nothing when he was a Ranger.
Yeah. Well, you know, didn't he have one good year in the 3 years?
I think he had, like, a decent year. Like, a decent year, and you're like, okay, maybe there was, like, a little bit of first-year-here jitters.
Yeah.
And then... You know, and you expect it to go up, and it went the other way. You know,
yeah, because I mean, Nash doesn't even like lay the body on anybody. I've never seen Nash,
you know,
back.
He plays like he's 5'8". You know,
yeah. I mean, I've never seen him back check. You know,
right?
And I mean, I don't know what he has on like the hockey, you know, intelligentsia or whatever. That always like that he's like guaranteed on Team Canada, but I mean, I don't know. I don't see it. And to me, when he scored in Columbus, it's like that's like the NBA. Anyone can get 20-10 on a bad team. If you're playing 2-minute power plays in Columbus, someone's going to score. Somebody's going to get points, you know. Oh, you did get the great Lee Stemniak from the Penguins.
I don't know him, and maybe that says it all.
Yeah, well, he was a third liner in Calgary, who then won the lottery and got to play with Sidney Crosby. So,
oh, right.
Yeah, so you got him, but I don't know. I don't. It's weird because I mean, I bash Columbus, but they're like the only team in the Metro Division that I think upgraded themselves. I mean, the Devils got Camilleri, but you know, that's not that huge of a. I mean, Hartnell's.
Camilleri is he's a shell of who he was when he was, you know, playing big minutes for the Canadians. You know.
Yeah, but I mean, really, Hartnell. That's a huge move. I mean, that's like the balance of power change.
Yeah. It's almost like if you're in, you can win. You know, the playoffs. What was the Kings when they won the?
They were an eighth seed 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
They were a what seed?
Eighth.
They were an eighth seed, right. And that's when it made me think, like, if you can just get in there, then, you know, you really got a shot at it. And I felt like the Rangers were kind of a testament to that this year, too, you know? I mean, there was no way they were beating the Kings.
No. Well, and that's, yeah, and it was funny because I was actually in New York when the Kings won the Cup. So I was, for like a week, so I got to see all the, it's funny because nothing too much, and you live in New York. There was a lot of Ranger pride. It was kind of fun to see. You know, a lot of Ranger fans. Yeah, a lot of jerseys around.
It was really
around.
Cool. It was really cool.
You know, a lot of jerseys around. Because I just love anything that promotes hockey.
You know? It was good for the sport. I remember I was walking down, like, 6th Ave, and I saw, like, a whole big Rangers bus, and it was just filled with fans, and, like, the rooftop had fans, and everybody was partying on the rooftop. And it was nice to see people get excited about hockey around here, you know?
Absolutely.
A part of the reason why you pick up these mistress teams is because hockey's so poorly covered in this country that, like, you don't really get to stay connected with your home team. So you're kind of, like, stuck with, like, the local broadcasting and all of that stuff. Like, you know, when I first moved to the States 12 years ago, I started following the Bruins, who I absolutely loathe. And that's only because I didn't have any hockey coverage and I was starved, you know?
Oh, I was going to say, is that because of Jack Edwards?
Who's Jack Edwards?
The hometown announcer for the Bruins who goes absolutely ballistic. He's kind of famous for being such a homer.
Oh, right.
He's famous.
I loathe them because, like, over the last 8 years, there's been so many awful moves between Toronto and the Bruins that have, like, bolstered the Bruins. Kessel's been working out. Kessel's been working out, but, like, we got Razor Raycroft in a deal, Toronto, like, years ago, and he was so bad.
Yeah.
And we gave them, like, a bundle of picks or something, and one of those picks turned out to be, like, Tuukka Rask.
Right. So it was, yeah,
you know, and then they also got Dougie Williams, or, you know, whatever his name is, a rookie defenseman,
Dougie Hamilton,
right.
And, yeah, that's
Sagan, who they let go, which was, you know, their own fault. But
yeah, they said he partied too much. I let him party with the cup. Is what I say.
Yeah,
that's right, a total. Exactly. I don't know if they have that in Canada so much, but, like, that's like a Boston. I'm from Pittsburgh. They kind of hold, you know, that's one of those things that, like, people hang their hats on. Like, kid partied too much. Get rid of him. You know, where it's like, that's stupid. He's a good player.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a Bill Burr's theory on he partied too much. I always hear that when I talk about Tyler Seguin was a mistake to give him up, you know.
Yeah. I mean, time will tell on that one. That's for sure.
Yeah, I know. I think it already has. Look, he made Dallas good, and him and the great Lindy Ruff took him like 2 weeks. Dallas made the play and scared the hell out of Anaheim. What do you think about hockey in America? Like, what, you know, coming from literally the capital of hockey.
I mean, that's the thing. I come from Toronto where, you know, the Leafs are on the cover of the sports page, you know, probably 50 weeks out of the year. It doesn't matter if they've got an assistant coach change, you know, in July, then that's going to be the story. And then it's like 4 pages later, the Blue Jays won 10 in a row, you know?
Yeah.
So, which is the opposite of New York. Like you can't get the Rangers at the back page of the sports page. And it's like Yankee coverage. So it also drives me nuts watching ESPN, like sports highlights, and you know, they're running in like some like golf plays and there's like 5 minutes of NFL draft news or trade news in the middle of the NHL playoffs. And it's, you know, it's just brutal stuff, you know?
Oh yeah. No, I literally only watch PTI on ESPN. That's right. All I watch. I watch the Hockey Network and that's it. Basically, I don't watch ESPN. It drives me. It just makes me angry. So it's one of those things where, you know what? 40 some years old, just step away, Bartnick, step away.
You've got options.
You know,
it might cost you $200 for the year, but you got options.
I mean, I get the package. I mean, which I have.
You do, right?
Yeah, I get the package. But then, you know, but the regular Hockey Network, just the, you know, around the NHL or whatever, that's enough. I mean, yeah, I mean, I can't even stand it now because now, like, my hometown, Pittsburgh, now all that sports talk is all the, you know, because even, I mean, when I was a kid, you would never think it, but literally, Penguin talk is almost number one the whole way up until July, like the end of July. Just right. This week, now everyone's at training camp. So it's like at training camp. So it's like it's a miserable time for me because I don't care. Like I don't care.
Right. It's funny because, you know, I get the NHL Center Ice package and, you know, I watch all the Leaf games or I try, you know, right. And when you watch the Leaf games, you get the, if they're playing away, you get the home people's commentary.
Right.
And the Penguins announcer, whoever he is, of all the games that I've watched in, like, you know, Dallas, Columbus, everything, everywhere, are like the biggest, like, you know, home team.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a penalty. What's he talking about? Oh, he barely touched them.
Oh yeah,
clearly a penalty.
100%,
the biggest homers I've ever seen.
100%, 100%. I know we got a lot of people in Pittsburgh listening, but it's true. And I've said this for years that I think that the way his name's Paul Stagerwald talks about Crosby makes people around the country hate him more than they would. From how much Stagerwald bends over backwards. It's like Crosby's on the bench, but he's the reason why they scored a goal.
Right.
Like, well, Sid looked at him in a way that let him score the goal.
He's not loved in parts of Canada either, but.
No, I mean, but that's, it's overwhelming. And the real pity, the complete pity of all this is, and people who listen know, is that the Hall of Famer, Mike Lang, has to do radio because the cable network in Pittsburgh was too cheap to pay his salary. And Lemieux paid it out of his pocket for like a couple of years. And then finally, I think I guess there was such a hatred between Lang. I can't speak for Lang or the cable network, but he's doing the radio. So I literally have the sound down and listen to Mike Lang on the radio. And for those who maybe are just picking up our podcast, now don't know Mike Lang, he's the guy that invented all the famous sayings in hockey. Like, beat him like a rented mule, you know, like all those famous, you know, he doesn't know where the crier wind his watch, buy Sam a drink and his dog one too. That's right, Mike Lang, right. Like getting the fast lane,
great,
grandma.
A great voice.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Not like, oh, people in Pittsburgh. I'm like, he's in the Hall of Fame. So, but he's doing radio and Sid's personal apologist is doing 82 games a year on television.
Right. Yeah. That's a tragedy. It's a Roman tragedy.
Yeah, it is. Because Lang calls it like it is, and his color man is Phil Bourque. So he's an old Penguin 2-time Cup winner, and he's played for the Rangers, played in Ottawa. He's been, and they call it. I mean, they call it straight up. It'd be like, you know, Bourque, I don't know about that call.
Right. And it's a little easier for other people who aren't like avid Penguins fans to get on board, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you say it though, because it really is kind of a disservice. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It's just, it's too much. It's over the top. And Pittsburgh fans are smarter than that too. You know?
Right.
If he just tone it down
And I said this when I met you, man, Pittsburgh is a great sports town.
Yeah.
Know?
He could just tone it down a little bit,
right? And then on the other side of that, the announcers in Phoenix, were, it almost sounded like they were calling the game in Toronto, like how much admiration they had for like players in Toronto. They're like, oh, this Phil Kessel, what a player, what a season he's having. And it was like, wait, wait a second.
Yes, yes. Do they
who's
still,
home here, you know?
Yeah, they Dave Schrader was down there for a while. He was Dave's an ESPN guy, so he was great. It's funny, you get to know all the announcers from all around the country, which is, you know, which is kind of, we're lucky in LA, we have another Hall of Famer, Bob Miller. So is he's a great one. My favorite non-Hollywood people I know. Do you know the guy in Buffalo, Rick Genere? Have you heard him?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I'll watch Buffalo. Even Buffalo is awful, and I'll watch them just for his announcing. He's just,
yeah. And is that the color guy or the play-by-play?
The play-by-play guy. The color guy's like Rob Ray,
Toronto's guy. And when I listen to him, like call Buffalo games, it makes me like fiend from my childhood. You know?
Well, I think Jenneret has been there for, I think he's been there like forever, but he takes a few games off now because he's that old.
Right.
But he's a fun one. But John, man, complete pleasure talking to you. I love the fact that you're a New York guy now. You're from Toronto. Super guy. Glad I met you.
Oh, yeah, me too, John. I can't wait to come out to LA and catch a game and hang around.
Yeah, what's any? Why don't you plug your podcast with Tinkle and everything you're doing?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Me and my buddy Chris Tinkle, our buddy Chris Tinkle, are doing a problem. We still got problems, and that's just basically our dissatisfaction with life, even though we quit drinking. And yeah, it's gotten better, but you know, a little bit better. And then, you know, I'm going to be in Charlotte in a couple of weeks for the Laugh Your Asheville Comedy Festival, or Laugh Your Ass Off, Laugh Your Asheville Off Comedy Festival.
Look at that. Ba-boom. Yeah. They're clever down there in Carolina.
Down there in Asheville.
Yeah. And your Twitter?
Oh, Twitter is at John Moses.
Right on.
Real simple.
Oh, you got in early. I'm sure they're not the only one. I'm sure there's like 19 John Moses, 19 John Moses, 37.
Right. No, you're right about that. I did get in early.
And it didn't
help me at all.
Well, John, like I said, it's been a complete pleasure, and thanks for being on Puck Off. And we will. We're going to have you back in the middle of the season. You're very knowledgeable.
Yeah, that'd be great. Hopefully the Leafs are, doesn't matter. They'll be like top of the league middle of the season, and then they'll fall from grace. So
we'll get you right at the cusp.
Yeah, there'll be a big difference in my attitude too. I'll be so happy.
Yeah, right on. No, you're a happy-go-lucky guy, man. You're a good dude. That's why we have you on. We don't have the downers.
Right.
Right on. Well, thanks, John, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy. That was the great John Moses. Actually plays ice hockey in New York, and a Ranger fan, Toronto fan, married into the Rangers. Good stuff. A couple more minutes here on Puck Off, I believe. Do we have a couple more minutes, Johnny Bench, or is it a couple more minutes? Once again, I want to thank everybody for listening. We really do enjoy doing this, and it's the summer. Can't wait to get back to the season. I mean, there's nothing like hockey. And thank you, fans. Thanks to the Sideshow Network. We have some big plans coming up this season. You know, our first season, kind of like an expansion team. We had to just get on the ice, select our players, and go out and play from day one. But now we have a summer to regroup, get some new coaches in here. And we're going to have some prizes and some new announcements next week. The captain will be back from Vegas, I'm sure, with some good stories. He's a legend. I'm sure he's bumping into somebody, some folks. And then we're going to get back because the Kings will be back. And we've been promised a few Kings, a few other players. So that should be good. And basically, that's about it. We'll be back next week all together. But thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. And thank you, Mr. Johnny Bench. Okay, everybody, enjoy AC/DC. Puck off.